listening to Road to Black Tech Week, where culture, capital, and creativity collide. And today, I'm reliving an incredible conversation with my sister in vision, Felicia Hatcher, CEO of Black Ambition, co-founder of Black Tech Week, and one of the most powerful voices calling us to operate in our genius. She gets into the journey from burnout to alignment and breaks down her four zones framework for knowing when you're thriving or just surviving. This episode is personal, practical, and packed with truth. Black Tech Week 2025, it's happening July 14th through the 16th in Cincinnati. Go to blacktechweek.com and get in the room. All right, let's go.
How are you guys doing today? My name is Vanita Cooper. I'm the CEO of Arbit. We are a data and analytics platform that identifies arbitrage opportunities on the sneaker resale market. But I'm really pumped for this conversation with the one and only Felicia Hatcher. So Felicia, before I say like what it is that she does, I'm gonna share what it is that she does, which is she is a builder and she is a visionary. And we see that through her work as the CEO of the Black Ambition Opportunity Fund, a VC firm that invests in underrepresented founders through capital, through access to resources, through mentorship, and also as the co-founder of Black Tech Week. So very excited to have Felicia here. Felicia, we chatted a little bit before this, and I told you one of my passions, hobbies, I don't know what you want to call it, is really understanding the mindset of successful people. And you are doing some really interesting work exploring the idea of genius, what it is, who has access to it, and how it can be leveraged. Tell us a little bit more about it.
Yeah, one, thank you for this conversation. And then two, like for the journey that you're on, because I do want to dive into that a little bit more. And so, you know, genius, I was a C student in high school with a guidance counselor who told me I would never make it to a college or university. And then I set out to prove this woman wrong and won $130,000 in scholarships as a C student.
Yes, yes.
But when you have like a non-traditional like educational pathway, mm-hmm. you learn a few things, right? Like you can either succumb to what people tell you and all their limiting beliefs. And, mm-hmm. you know, at 17 years old, this woman who did not know me was trying to define what the rest of my life was going to look like and tell me you'll never make it to a college or university. But like, I was one of those kids that could, like I rewired cable into my bedroom and I taught myself how to code at 16. But my grades, right? Like my GPA didn't say all that because I just didn't really like school. I like boys and basketball. And and so it really kind of has set me along this path for the rest of my life of like, there's more than one pathway to success. Mm-hmm. And you can either let other people bestow titles upon you that are oftentimes very limiting, or you can bestow a title upon yourself. And so where genius comes into play is I think oftentimes we wait for like MacArthur Genius Fellow to say, you are a MacArthur genius. Instead of saying like, I am going to operate in the pocket of whatever my genius is every single day and be very unapologetic about that. And what genius means is really kind of two things, right? So it's you operating at the highest level of who you are and what your gift is. And then the other part of that is genius really means confidence in what you do. And so does anyone know what the root word of confidence is? It's not a trick question. Y'all smart people this morning. Confide, right? And what does confide mean? It means to trust. And so genius is not like ego. It's not bravado. It's do you trust yourself? Do you trust your abilities? Do you trust what you're building? Do you trust the transformation that you're creating? Do you trust the services that you provide? Do you trust the product that you're building? Do you trust your team? And if you can say, yes, I trust myself and my ability, and I'm also committed to being a lifelong learner of this thing and a lifelong student, then hell yeah, you are a genius. And so to me, that's what it means.
How do we get to that trust?
It's being very honest with ourselves. Mm-hmm. about what our ability is. It's being very honest with ourselves about the work that we want to do every single day. It's taking out the consideration of criticism before you answer that question honestly for yourself. And oftentimes we can't operate in genius or at our highest level because, well, maybe the answer won't be that impressive to other people around us. It might not be accepted. It might not be shiny enough. And so I remember I was doing this session at DoorDash, and this lady, she's like, my genius is being a dinner party planner. And she was like a high-level executive at DoorDash. Or tea party planner. And everyone in the room kind of just looked at her like, what woman, what you talking about? Like, you better go put that presentation together. And she then proceeded to say she had been planning tea parties and dinner parties since she was like 3 years old. So she had been doing this for like 30-something years. And she's like, when I plan dinner parties for my friends, like, as immediately as I say it, they show up. And like, it's full. And the conversations and the people that come together. And so the dinner party is the vessel. But like, there's a connection that she does. And that's really her genius, right? But like, when she immediately said it, the people around her laughed at her. And why? Because her vision and their vision don't align with what her identity is. And so that's why you have to be careful who you share your visions and your dreams with, because if it's not a safe container, but then it's also a container of people that need to be able to stretch you. Like, okay, that's your genius, but how did you show up in your genius today? And how are you showing up in your genius tomorrow? And what is the world gonna look like and be different as a result of you in your genius? Those are the kind of friends you need. You need friends that ask you high quality questions, because the quality of your questions determine the quality of your life. It's my favorite quote by Tony Robbins. And so we all have to get in a habit of asking ourselves bigger, richer, more expansive, but more importantly, more expensive questions about who we are, what we plan to do, what our community is going to look like as a result, what our startups are going to look like as a result of what we do every single day. And not enough of us are asking big, rich, expensive questions. One of my favorite big, rich, expensive questions came from, there's a show, Lovecraft Country on HBO. Anyone's, right, it's so good, but that show is crazy, right?
Jordan Peele.
Jordan Peele is sci-fi is all I have to tell people. And they're like, okay, I get it, right? Really, just a really interesting show. And in episode four or five, Derek, my husband, he's like, you need to go back and watch so you know what episode to point people to. And there's two characters in the show. One character's name is Christina, and the other character's name is Ruby. And Christina is this white woman that has all these mystical powers, right? Y'all know what I'm talking about. She can make things appear and disappear, like money appear, people like, you know, unbig people's backs. Like, she can do all the things, right? And Christina is sitting across from this woman named Ruby. Ruby's a black woman who feels quite powerless, that she has no power. She has no agency over her time or the trajectory of her life. She feels powerless, and as a result of feeling powerless, she feels stuck. And Christina turns to Ruby and she asks her, who are you uninterrupted? And when she asked her that question, I was just like, damn, that's a good question. I had never heard that question before in my entire life. Like, in my entire life. And I've worked for some of the biggest, you know, some of the most innovative companies in the world, Nintendo and Sony and McKee Foods and the NBA. Like, and these companies perform at a high level because they have to. Mm-hmm. And I had never heard that question. But moreover, I could not answer that question while I was sitting there. So I finished watching the show because, you know, it was good. And it really took me going back and forth to that question for about 2 weeks before I could really put pen to paper, because it was so big. It's bigger than, what do you want to be when you grow up? Or, you know, what do you want to do with your time? That is a different question that requires a different version of you to answer it. Who am I if nothing ever stood in the way of me achieving success? If at every intersection of my life, the light wasn't red, it was never yellow, it was only green, like the beautiful blazer that you got on right there, right? If it was only green, what would you do? What would you build? Who would you be? And so the challenge to everyone here, right, is asking yourself that question, but then also stepping into the version of you that answers that question honestly, without the filter and criticism that you think is going to come from anyone else around you. But you also have to know, well, what interrupted you to begin with? Because the reality is those interruptions we take into pitch meetings, right? The evaluations of our companies, interviews, conversations with our significant others, we take those interruptions with us everywhere. But moreover, you cannot dream as big as you possibly can dream if you don't address those interruptions and say, I'm giving myself permission to dream as big as I possibly can. And that was literally the first conversation that I had with Pharrell when I came on the Lead Black Ambition. Like, we geeked out over that show and that question because he had watched it and he had glossed over it like a lot of people. Like, you're just watching it and sometimes we don't pick up the clues, right? Or pick up the codes. And so that's why that question is so important. And so it's a series of questions that we need to be asking ourselves along our path.
So how did you end up answering that question for yourself?
In a few different ways, right? And so Felicia Uninterrupted is at any and all time able to stay in the creative pocket of my genius. Like, I can create, but more so not just create for myself, create so that is forever impactful for others. A lot of what I do right now with Black Ambition is my life uninterrupted, like making sure that the pathway to entrepreneurship and the pathway through entrepreneurship is as uninterrupted as possible, humanly possible, right, for Black, Hispanic, and HBCU students. Felicia Uninterrupted is being by the water every single day. Felicia Uninterrupted is building massive generational wealth for my family so that my kids, whether they want to go to college or not, they don't need to go to college because they have the resources, the connection, the know-how, and the genius. It's an option for them. It'll be an option for my grandkids and my great-grandkids all the way down. Like, that is me uninterrupted, that my friends and family should never want for anything if I am living full out in the sheer pocket of my genius. Like, those are some of the things that have come to me and through me as I have been answering that question.
I love that you answered that not as a title for a job. You answered it as a talent, as an experience, as life goals. I think often we are defined by our work, when in actuality, I think the genius that you're exploring is about who we are outside of that, right? And how we kind of like, how that feeds into our work.
Yeah, your genius, and I know we'll go into like the actual framework of getting there, it's not a job title. Like, if you are going through the work of figuring out your genius and you keep settling on a job title, you're not digging deep enough. Your genius is the essence of who you are. And as a result of it being the essence of who you are, it shows up in the exact same way in everything that you do. What you do in the boardroom and what you do at your kids' PTA is gonna be rooted in your genius if you're truly in the pocket of your genius, because it's the essence of who you are. And the reason I've dug so deep into it is because, like, you know, Gay Hendricks' book, The Big Leap, came at me at a time where I was dealing with severe burnout. And it was the book for me that gave me the radical clarity that I needed to make some really hard decisions about my life. The other part of that is even just the transition, you know, when Derek and I decided to sell Black Tech Week to like the lovely, lovely, like Lightship, like I love them. And I spent a year, because it was twofold. It was selling Black Tech Week, but then it was also moving on from the organization that we had founded and we had been running for the past 7 years. And I had to ask myself, who am I without this title? And for a while, I couldn't answer that. I couldn't come to grips with that. But I also knew that I was ready to transition and move on. And I think in the startup space, we talk so like fluidly, right, about pivoting. And I think sometimes we talk very recklessly about it as well, because it's in a process. And I kept having to, like, who am I without this title? Because I had built something that was like a company, but it was my identity. And that was actually a mistake. And that's a mistake that I think oftentimes we make in leveraging our personal brand to be able to build the credibility, the respect, so that we can raise the money to be able to do the things. I think there's some smarter ways that I've had to learn, some painful ways in that process. But at first it was that. And then I was like, okay, like, well, this is who I am without this title. Just because I'm not doing this work anymore, that doesn't mean those skills don't transfer and those relationships don't transfer and the way that I solve problems don't transfer, right? Like, those are all things that are transferable. And, like, you have to remind yourself of that. But you also have to, like, take the time to find stillness and get to stillness so that you can actually plot those things out. The other part of that, I went to therapy on it. And, like, I'm very honest about that process, because I realized that I made the decision, but maybe the world around me did not make that decision. And I had to build some fortitude around being able to start having some really difficult conversations that were pushbacks. And I got those pushbacks. Like, what do you mean you leaving? Right? Like, you can't leave now. Like, the work is just begun. You just rebranded. But, like, I know in my spirit, this is not my genius anymore. And if I continue to show up and operate, I actually will end up doing a disservice to the people and the work and the organization that I intended to support at the highest level. And that comes from some clarity. But what going to therapy helped me, it gave me a vocabulary and it gave me tools to handle difficult conversations and pushback. And so sometimes the pushback is just people don't understand the pathway that you're on. And that's okay, but you need to know how to respond to that and not internalize that, right? You also need to be able to respond to when you don't have a next plan and be okay with that. And I did not have a next plan. I just knew this plan was over for me. And so being able to have, like, those nuanced conversations with the people around you oftentimes comes with getting professional support to just make sure that they can give you the dialogue that you need to have so that you can stand in the conviction of the decisions that you're making.
So I feel like what I'm hearing is, like, in addition to confidence and trust, a big part of unlocking genius or even getting to the place where you understand your genius is having courage, having faith. And I also think, you know, and this is the perfect room to find genius in, because I think that entrepreneurs are probably a little bit more inclined. This is obviously not scientifically backed. I'm just saying this stuff. The thought just hit me, but somebody should do a study on this. I think that entrepreneurs are part of, I think, getting to genius, to your point, is seeing risk or understanding that there's risk involved. And being like, you know what? I know it's risky for me to make this pivot, right? But I'm gonna do it anyway. And here's the reason I think entrepreneurs are more inclined to this now. Someone said this to me and it totally shifted the way that I even think about risk. I used to think, oh yeah, like, you know, I'm starting Arbit, and I'd started a sneaker shop before that on Black Wall Street in Tulsa. And you can tell when Tulsa's in here, because they just be screaming for anything. The word just needs to start with a T. You know, I used to be like, man, you know, I'm just good with taking risks where other people don't. And someone was like, no, what's happening here is you are an optimist. You actually don't see risk where other people see risk. And so you're willing to lean into it. And so I think the DNA to be able to identify genius is definitely here in this room. But I want us to have an understanding of, like, what is it, where are we on the spectrum? And so you've got this framework, the four zones. T- talk to us about that. And I want you guys to kind of think about, like, where do you exist? What zone are you in currently?
Whew, you said a word. And I'm gonna have to push back on you a little bit, Coop, because...
Push back.
Entrepreneurs actually have the hardest time...
What?
...finding their genius.
I mean, sorry, go ahead.
And so the... Not that they don't get to it, but I'm going to tell you the thing that stands in the way.
Okay.
And so you hit it on the head, right? Faith and passion and being able to take risk are all important parts of the process, but a process of elimination is the other part. And that's why the framework that Gay Hendricks created is so powerful. And then I wrote a book on where he left off, because he gets you to your genius, but then he doesn't tell you what to do with your genius. And so his framework is there's four components of that, right? Your zone of incompetence, zone of competence, zone of excellence, and then your zone of genius. And so really quickly, your zone of incompetence are all the things that you currently do that you don't have no business doing. You don't have no business doing. You suck at doing these things.
You are the
worst in the world at doing these things, but my God, you do them anyways. It's like a train wreck when you do these things. You're like, okay, it's done, but why is it done like that? Like, it's all of that. And y'all are laughing, but it's true. And so we pick up doing these things because we say they're necessary evils. There's nothing in life that is a necessary evil. Am I right, Pastor Ben? We got to think about the language that we use to describe the things that we spend our time and that should be genius time on. Nothing in your life is a necessary evil. Evil is not necessary in your steps and in your days. And so do a brain dump of writing down all the things that you hate doing. You rather poke your eye out than do these things. And when you do them, like, they're at a piss poor quality, but you're like, well, it's done. Those are the things that are in your zone of incompetence. You do not know how to do these things. Stop it. Stop it now. Your zone of competence is you have a level of competence doing it. You know how to do it. You can do it. It can get done. You don't hate it, but you don't really like it. There's still other people in the world that are better in doing these things than you do. You can get it done. It's usually like the thing, I call it like the sister, y'all remember the movie, The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants? Like, those tasks travel on your to-do list from week to week to week. You said, all right, not a paper to-do list. I need to use Monday. I need to use Basecamp. It's still on there. It still travels. The tools do not change your output in your zone of incompetence. You don't like doing it. What are those things that, like, are not the best use of your time, your resources, your talent, your dollar, your energy, your team? They give you I call them your zones of no return and your zones of low return. Your zone of excellence is a tricky one, because you're really good at it. Like, you make probably a really good income doing this, right? You have a good salary doing this. You bring in great revenue doing this, because you can do this framework from a personal standpoint, and then you can also do it looking at your business or your organization. You really need to do it for both. Zone of excellence. When people come to you and say, can you do these things in only the way that you can do them? You're like, yes, I can do it. But there's something in your body that is kind of telling you that, like, you are not living to your full potential and doing these things. You're really comfortable doing it. And so your zone of excellence is AKA your comfort zone. You're really comfortable doing this. You're good at doing this, but you are not great at doing it. And if you had to leave this earth today, could you definitively say you left it all on the court? Like, every part of your innate ability flowed to you and through you for the highest value of you, for the highest level of income that you could make, and for the highest impact into the community. And if you cannot definitively say yes, then those things are your zone of excellence. They are not your genius. Y'all picking up what I'm putting down? And so your genius is different, right? It feels different. It's the work that you do that sets your soul on fire. It's what you get, like, lost in the sauce of, like, time. Like, that is your genius. That's why people say those things. the best geniuses are also the best students. They know that they do not know everything about their thing, but they have an insatiable desire to continue to learn. And that's what makes them a genius. The other part of genius, like I said before, is trust. You have to trust yourself. And when you stay in the pocket of that thing that you do, you perform at the highest level. The other part of that is you cannot expect results from work you have not done. So every time I go into organizations and I teach this, people come up like, well, Felicia, I still don't know my genius. I'm like, did you identify your zone of incompetence, competence, and excellence? Because they're not just nice things to do. They are a process of elimination. Because as we become adults and as we are entrepreneurs, when you are just starting out, you are chief everything. You pick up the phone when it's the trash department. You pick up the phone when it's marketing. You change your voice a little bit. Yeah, y'all know what I'm talking about, right? And so you do everything. And then as you start to grow to building a team, it becomes really hard to trust people because they're not doing it like you're doing it. And you are afraid to make mistakes. And so you start doing everything. And so you have to get to a point where, like, I'm not doing things that are in my zone of incompetence box. They don't serve me. They don't serve the team. I'm not doing things that are in my zone of excellence box because I don't perform at the highest level. The highest returns do not come back to my company, do not come back to my household as a result of that. And so whatever your genius is, your zone of excellence, you need to find somebody who their genius is your zone of excellence. And their genius is your zone of incompetence and competence. That's their genius. And then that's how you build a dope squad full of geniuses that perform at the highest level. And then there's no competition either because everyone is performing in their lane at the highest level. That is the initial framework. But your genius, right? And what is the church saying? Like, our gifts will make room for us? Who's heard that before? Right? They don't finish the statement. Our gifts will make room for us, but we gotta tell our gifts what rooms to take us. And so your genius will make room for you, but you gotta give your genius a destination. You have to give it a destination. It's not enough to just pick up all these books and say, well, this is what I'm great at. Well, what you doing with it? And what does it mean for you from an income standpoint? What does it mean for you from an impact standpoint? Those are the other questions that you have to ask. And so your genius must make room. But you gotta tell it what room to take it. What new conversations do you wanna have as a result of your genius? What new places do you wanna go as a result of your genius? What kind of work do you wanna do? What does your day look like as a result of your genius? These are the questions that you have to be asking yourself, because then now you have a genius plan. All
right. I think what everyone in here wants to know, Felicia, is, am I a genius? Okay. I just needed you to say that. Y'all heard her. Raise your hand if you feel like you're operating in your zone of genius right now. I said I was gonna ask y'all. Raise your hand if you feel like you're in your zone of excellence right now. Okay. You know, we're close. We're close.
We asked the other two questions, I'm afraid.
Should we? Raise your hand if you feel like you're not in one of those two zones. Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
Huh? To be
honest, it depends on the day. Commit to at least an hour a day of genius activity is what I tell people when they're first starting out. Commit to an hour and put it on your calendar. Like, this is my genius hour. And in this hour, I'm going to perform at the highest level in my skill set, in my talent, and in my gift. And then you work towards building a life where you're always in your genius. You build a team where you are always in your genius, because it also gives you a vocabulary to set really healthy boundaries with people around you. When people ask you to do stuff, you know what, that's not in my genius. Like, I could do it, but I'm gonna be getting in the way. And I'm not gonna produce at the highest level. And so that's the conversation that I have with my team at BA all the time. Like, I could go, like, hand out the badges at the front desk. Nothing wrong with it. I could do it. I have two hands. I can do it. But that's not the best use of my time. That doesn't bring the highest value to the organization. And so the highest value to the organization is if our funders are here, that I'm having a conversation with them, making sure that they are having a great curated time here, meeting founders that they can invest in, and ultimately doubling or tripling their investment back into our organization, right? Like, that is the best use of my time. And where entrepreneurs get tricky is just like, okay, that front desk role may be a $20 an hour job. Just throwing a dollar number out there. Please don't be offended, right? Like, that might be a $20 an hour activity. Sure, I can go do it. But when I show up in the pocket of my genius and I've raised millions of dollars for my organizations, it's not that we're saving $20. We are losing $1 million an hour. Yeah. Y'all picking up what I'm putting down? Because I quantified what it cost, what the return is on my time when I'm in my genius. And so everyone also has to do that, because it will really help you stay in the pocket of your genius. Yeah, I can go make copies, but that copy that I'm doing is costing the organization $250,000. Is that the best use of your time? No. And so you find the people who like that thing. Like, I hate email. You want to not get a response from Felicia? Email me.
Believe it, y'all, because I emailed her and...
I know that about myself.
I'm still waiting on a reply.
It's right? I mean, but...
I'll ask you backstage.
But I'm saying that because I respond to emails in my head. But I don't actually like type them. I read every email. I respond in my head, and then I get here. She's like, "You didn't even respond back to my email." and what I'm trying to say is, I hired an amazing executive assistant 3 years ago, who, like, I don't even understand this woman's love for email, like. Like, the email landed in the email box like 0.5 seconds ago, and she's already crafting a response. She loves email. But if I didn't go through that zone of genius, like, activity to realize email is in my zone of competence, I can do it. Yes, I know how to send an email. I've worked in corporate America for a long time. Per your last email, don't come for me. You know what I mean? But like... But I know to operate at a high level, right? And sometimes a lot of the work that I do, I'm in social environments, but I'm raising money. I'm bringing mentors in. I'm bringing judges. I'm bringing all of those things. I am not tied to my phone all the time, but that stuff still needs to get done. I'm just trying to give you like a real example of, once you go through that process, it also then helps you better identify the people that you need on your team, because they got to be geniuses in the areas in which you are not.
I love that you gave us that example that is very specific.
And timely, Coop.
And timely.
I'm sorry.
Also, you can tell Felicia doesn't check her email. She called it an email box. I'm still trying to figure out what that is. Email box. So for the last 10 minutes, we're actually going to open up for questions for you guys. And so if you have a question, I think there's a mic right here. Don't be shy. This is Felicia Hatcher. Please.
I'm sorry, but this is fantastic. Sherry Nixon, RSVP Weddings. You have given such clarity to what I have just been going through the last 2 weeks of saying, I'm not building that. That's not what I do. Let me put together the team that's going to do that for me. And so you have given clarity and language to what I need to do even more of, right? So thank you for that. And so my question to you is, how do we put our fingers on referencing this insight more? You said you wrote a book. Is it about this? I really want to kind of get my fingers on that so I can internalize these lessons.
Yeah, it's a book that's on my website. It's called Genius Jam. Oh. So like taking your genius and then spreading it across everything that you do.
Hello. Oh, this mic's a little short. My name is Osiris Childs. I work in tech, but I also recently launched my own clothing brand this year. It's called Sir Childs, if anyone wants to look it up. I'm at the point right now where I'm doing everything myself, and so I'm constantly working in my zone of incompetence for a lot of areas for the business. So until I get to the point where I can build a team and be able to delegate and only operate in my zone of genius, how do I navigate that to where I'm not doing any harm to my business and constantly having to work in many areas of incompetence?
Yeah, your company's bringing in revenue right now?
Yes.
Okay. It's bringing in revenue, you need to outsource. And so that could be, I mean, there's a number of really great outsource platforms. I have used Fiverr. I still use Fiverr for some stuff, even with a full team. It's just like, I just need this one thing done really quick. Upwork is another one that oftentimes people use. You got a lot of freelancers that are in this room. You don't need to hire someone for like, you know, a month or like a 2-week salary. Just start with one day. Start with one day, right? Or a few hours a week just to take that thing that is very time consuming that doesn't allow you to go out and get the money, right? And so you think about that. Like, what are the 2 or 3 things that if my time wasn't consumed, it could free myself to bring in more so that I can then get to a point of full-time or part-time support. And sometimes, guys, it's business stuff, but sometimes it's like in your personal life that you can outsource, right? Like, free yourself and get a cleaning person. Like, that abundance is afforded to us as Black people. You are literally supporting another business by doing so. But think of like the 3 hours and the frustration that you would spend cleaning your home. Like, you could outsource that. That's now 3 hours that you can spend working in business development for your, or bringing money in. So all think from a personal standpoint, and then also think from a business standpoint.
Hello, my name is Amy Vaughn, and I am the owner and chief empowerment officer of Together Digital. We're a national network of women who work in digital marketing and advertising. So I'm always thinking about my members and the kinds of questions that they would have. And one that came to mind was, what questions can we ask ourselves to find our zone of genius, since we are socially conditioned and rewarded, especially women, for doing work that is in our zone of excellence?
The questions that I think I may have gone through, like maybe 15 questions today, right? And so start with going through the zone of genius framework, start there. Answer that question, who are you, uninterrupted? Sit with it as long as you can until an answer flows through you, because then that defines the steps that you wanna take and how you wanna live your life. Mm-hmm. And then also sometimes, like, y'all just gotta sometimes throw a middle finger to jerks in your life that are forcing you to operate in areas that are less than who you are, right? Like, the world needs you to be high vibrational, not low vibrational. It needs that of you. And when you step into that, there's like no limit to the income that you can make. There's no limit to the flow. Right? Like, we have to divorce ourselves. And so much time that we spend with Black ambition is actually healing the toxic relationship that Black and Hispanic entrepreneurs have with money.
Yes. Yeah.
And so we have been conditioned that the only way that can lead to income, revenue, or wealth is, it got to be hard money. It got to be struggle money. It got to be depression money. It got to be slow money. Like, it doesn't have to be any of that. And it takes a while to remove that, like, learning and kind of erase it and then learn a new process. But we got to divorce ourselves from the negative stuff that happens around us, because that's the thing that gets in the way.
Thank you so much. And then one more quick question. I'd love to have you on my podcast. It's our Power Lounge. Since you don't answer email, is LinkedIn the best way to reach you?
Instagram? I will give you my assistant's email when
okay.
I get off.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
I do answer emails, y'all.
She doesn't.
Good morning, Felicia. Alana Whitaker, Blue Collar to the Blockchain and Digital Green Book. I'm looking forward to interviewing her on Monday. I'm super excited about that. One of the things I wanted to ask about your zone of genius, What could you characterize what that breakthrough moment was for you when you realized you were crossing from excellence to genius?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a long answer.
We got to
save that.
Girl, we
save time. That for the podcast on Monday.
Digital green book. Look it up. Okay.
Ooh, it was a few things. I was burnt out. And burnout I don't wish on my worst enemy, because it just kind of sneaks up into the fabric of who you are in a really, really toxic way. You just unmotivated. You don't want to get up. You don't want to go to sleep at night. You don't want to wake up. And it's just bad, right? Mm-hmm. And so it was that moment. And I've been through it twice. Mm-hmm. Once when I was in corporate America, and then quite frankly, like about five years ago, I was saying yes to any and everyone. I was running around like a chicken with my head cut off. I was doing all the things and I had no clarity to what I was doing. I was just doing it because I felt like I needed to be everywhere and everything to everybody, and I wasn't listening to myself. And I was from Miami to San Francisco for a day to do a pitch to some investors or to some funders. And I needed to get on the plane, and I needed to actually go to Kentucky to Ben's event, all in the span of 24 hours. And if you've ever done that East Coast, West Coast, it will take you out if you're already exhausted. I did the event, had the meeting, went really well, went back to my hotel, and something told me in my body, if I got on that plane, I was not going to make it. I didn't know what it was, but it was louder than it had ever been before. And I called my husband and I told him, I gotta check back into this hotel and I need some rest. And I unpacked my bags, called the hotel downstairs, sat down on the bed, and tears just started rushing out of my eyes. It wasn't tears of sadness, it was tears of exhaustion. I don't know what would have happened if I got on that plane. And all I could think about is like, oh my God, like they're gonna kill me if I cancel, I don't make it to the Be Me. I think it was like the Be Me retreat. And I remember having a conversation with someone that was there who guilted me into not going, right? It wasn't you, Ben. It wasn't you, right? And so I had to make some changes. And why I love genius so much is because the initial four part of the framework is something that I learned in Gay Hendricks' The Big Leap. And I had been carrying that book with me for a long time. I had posted it on Instagram, like, look at the book I'm reading. And I wasn't really reading it. You know, I flipped through a few pages. And what is the saying? I think Bruce Lee, not until the student is ready does the teacher appear. And like that book changed my life. And so it helped me identify what my genius is. And it gave me permission. It also taught me when I was self-sabotaging as I started to up-level in success in my career, but it felt uncomfortable. And so that's the book that changed my life. And it happened about 5 years ago.
Thank you for that. And self-sabotage, that's a big topic that we're going to discuss. Thank
you. I think we have time for maybe one more quick question, if there's one more question.
Hello there. Hold on, let me get this up too. My name is Malik Mangane. I'm a student at the University of Cincinnati. And in an age where so many things look interesting to me, like so many hobbies and just things I want to get into, where I could find my potential genius, where would you go or what would you do as far as identifying what I should focus on at first and maybe develop on later?
What do you like doing right now?
I'm really into cybersecurity right now. That's what I'm
studying.
What
part of cybersecurity?
Mainly defense side of things. I'm also interested in the offense side of things, but protecting a network really piques my interest.
So protecting the networks.
Yeah.
What about it exactly?
I mean, quite honestly, just finding out issues, mainly vulnerabilities where people could get into the network, what can be improved upon. Also, the social aspect. I really like the psychology aspect of things, because mainly when a bad actor or a hacker goes into a network, it is a lot of psychology and sociology work on the person, and that's how they mainly get into a network. So. Yes.
So you love solving problems.
I like solving problems.
Where else does that show up in your life?
Quite honestly, in my social life, I will say, like, I'm always the friend people come to when they have issues, when it's like emotional or like mental or even physical, right? And so, yeah, I like solving problems.
Okay, I think that's what your genius is. So I want you to then, y'all saw what I did there?
Right. That was clean. That was pretty clean. I'm not going.
You're like, what just happened to me?
I know. I never had that happen before. I'm not going to.
Go through the framework again, because we're at time. They about to like do Apollo Sandman on us right quick. Go through the framework, like sit with it, and see once you do the process of elimination, if problem solving keeps coming up, because you can dig deeper on that. Problem solving is still pretty broad. There might be a very unique way that you approach problem solving, and that's your genius. And then when you ask yourself, like, where else does this show up in my life? That's how you know if you are tapping into your essence and your true genius, by asking yourself, where else does this show up in my life?
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
I'm sending you the bill. No, I'm just
asking. Yeah. I should pay. I'm not going to.
Y'all give it up for Felicia. Felicia, where can they find you? And obviously not email.
On Instagram. Y'all gonna kill me with this email. I answer emails, y'all, just not promptly.
And then
At Felicia Hatcher on everything. And then definitely follow us on Black Ambition to know when the prize opens up for 2024.
Yeah, and follow Arbit at GetArbit and go to GetArbit.com and join our wait list. Thank you guys.
That was Felicia Hatcher. Vision in motion and proof that your genius isn't a job title, it's a mindset. If this conversation inspired you, do something with it. Subscribe to Road to Black Tech Week, leave us a review, and send this to someone who's still figuring out what they bring to the table. And come see us in person. Black Tech Week 2025 is where the boldest ideas, founders, and funders link up. July 14th to the 16th in Cincinnati. Visit blacktechweek.com for more details. Until next time, lead in your lane, own your genius, and stay building. I'm Candace Matthews-Reckeen. See you in Cincinnati.